Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, the Bible says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, thanking you, welcoming you to the broadcast today. We do appreciate you listening in, and we're excited about the radio program today. Before we get started, though, I want to say that we are, our thoughts, our prayers are going out to the people in Boston, the tragedy up there. We are certainly thinking about those people, the victims, the first responders, all of the people involved up there, the families. We are really trying to pray for them today. So I wanted to say that before we said anything else today, and that we were praying for that situation up there in Boston, Massachusetts. I called a missionary friend of mine yesterday. We support him at the church, and he is about 45 minutes from that area that the bombing took place. And I was asking him if he was all right, family, friends, people in the church, and they were saying that as far as he knew. So, we are praying for those people. But I want to welcome you to the radio broadcast today. This is the Blessings of Liberty, and I want to take just a moment to welcome our listeners as well, right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, also our listeners on WZAP 690 AM, and also our listeners on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth. Today we are honored to have with us Mr. Dan Stanley. He is an owner and contributing editor to the U.S. Journal. That is a conservative newspaper, and the tagline underneath the U.S. Journal says, promoting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And when I seen that and picked up the paper and seen the content, I was very excited to find something new and refreshing in the stale world of newspapers, because a lot of them are used for washing windows and lining bird cages, and that's about all they're worth. But this newspaper is definitely worth taking a look at. So Mr. Stanley is joining us today by phone from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And Mr. Stanley, are you there with us this morning?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I'm glad to hear your voice. We got in here and we were trying to get everything together. So good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing very good, and I want you to know that very few people know how to say Eau Claire the first time.
So I got close.
Yeah, you got awful close. It's good. A hard word. It's good. French for clear water, but I'm doing fine. It's good to be here today.
Good. We appreciate you being with us. Mr. Stanley has roots in North Carolina, I think from the Winston-Salem area. And I want you to just take a moment and tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your testimony, and a little bit about the U.S. Journal to get us started this morning.
All right, I'd be glad to do that. Well, in a nutshell, I am a Canadian by birth, but we ended up in Winston-Salem back in 1961 when Dad came down to go to a Bible college there, Piedmont Bible College. And not only that, but in reading some of the things that you've said concerning what you read, which is the Winston-Salem Journal and Sentinel, I was a 7-year Winston-Salem Journal and Sentinel paper boy, morning, evening, and Sunday. And so I grew up with newspapers, and long story short, I ended up migrating up to Wisconsin because I went to seminary in Minnesota, ended up in Wisconsin, church started in 1980, then another church out of that in 1992, and so that's kind of my history in a nutshell. But the journal came about as a result of 15 years plus of traveling the United States a month at a time with my family. We homeschooled our children. And I'm a newspaper connoisseur. It's in my blood, so I read, bought newspapers, small towns, big towns, everywhere. And after 15 years, and plus really 30, 35 years, I started with 1982 with the USA Today, which most people are familiar with, from this very inception. I've always read it. And after reading for 15 years papers everywhere of every kind, I just simply was dissatisfied with everything I read. And having said that, then the 2008 election kind of got myself and two other men interested in maybe doing something. 2010, remember, they had the next election in the middle of the presidential election. All of that kind of culminated, and finally, after all those years, I thought, you know, I'm interested, and these other two men were, in getting something going and in print. I mean, some of the listeners, and I don't know, Pastor Wynn, if you remember, do you remember The Grit, that newspaper?
I do.
Well, when I was a kid, they still carried it, and I'd cross paths with The Grit newspaper boy, and I was the Winston-Salem Journal and Sentinel newspaper boy. I don't remember a lot about it, but in those days, it was still kind of the old-fashioned whatever paper. Well, there was nothing left, and so we started the Eau Claire Journal, which has become the U.S. Journal because of increased interest. We started the Eau Claire Journal kind of as a result of, again, nothing was there, so we want something that is substantial, that is conservative, that is sound. And behold, it came into being. This is into its fourth year, and here we are.
I was delighted to find a copy of the U.S. Journal. It's sort of interesting. I picked up a copy at our local Bible Baptist bookstore, and Brother Bob Doom was there at their grand opening, and I'd already bought my books and everything. I was heading out the door, and Brother Doom gave me a copy. I subscribed to a paper, and there's a lot of religious papers that really don't have very much content. I realize yours is not a religious paper, but, you know, when he handed it to me, I just took it home with all my stuff, but I sat down, I read it, and, you know, I read the newspaper every day, the Winston-Salem Journal, and it is so liberal that, you know, you feel like you're not getting even a balanced view of the news. You're getting a slanted version. And so when I seen the U.S. Journal, I was just very excited about it. I called your office to subscribe, and I talked to Travis, I think it was, and he put me in contact with you, and that's sort of how we got together. But the trend in America, if anybody pays attention to the news, is for newspapers, they're going out of business. They're reducing circulation. But here you are in the midst of all this. You're starting a newspaper, and it's growing. And what difference, you know, what would you contribute the success that you're having versus other papers going out of business? Tell us the difference between the two.
Well, I'm a little bit like you, or a lot like you, more than likely. I read the USA Today just to get disturbed.
Yes.
Very honest. That wasn't true in 1982, because all newspapers have a view and come from some basis. It's a kind of a common myth that a newspaper is neutral. True history cannot be neutral by nature and definition. And so they all believe something, and that comes out. And oftentimes it comes out not as much as what they say as what they don't say. Here's an example, is that one of the things that really affected me over reading many papers over many years is that I thought, well, a newspaper is dealing with serious things. I mean, they have comics and other things like that, but it's got serious things in it, serious news, things that have to do with life and death and war. And I'd read all these papers, and I was disturbed over the fact that reading all these newspapers, there was never an inkling in any of the papers that a Christian was involved in writing anything in it, or it came from a Christian, a Christian owned it. In other words, you know, there's certain things in life that if that's what you are, it's going to show up and you can't hide it. That's especially true if you want to listen to people's opinions, for instance, at the corner store, what they believe is going to show up. So here's what happened. Out of that, I say it this way. Ours is not a Christian newspaper, but it is a newspaper that is owned by Christians, and that shows up in various ways. And so why is ours doing better, or why is ours getting going, and why is it working some? Well, I could say several reasons, but just in a nutshell, it comes from a basis that is founded upon what is true and what is good and what is wholesome. And that says, that's general, but it says a lot. A lot of what you read in the newspaper isn't necessarily true, or it's leaving out the truth. Here's a classic example. You're probably aware of this recent doctor, an abortionist, and how he's on trial. And yes. How that he's guilty of murdering infants after they're born, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that we found out is that the mainline news has almost ignored that. So, again, there's one example of many where the news will leave out. So why? Because they believe something. So ours is based upon what is true. Again, everybody says that, but I'm going to say it, what is true and what is good and what is wholesome. And I found this. I found that there are people that are tired of mainline news, so they went to the cable.
Yes.
Now they're getting tired of Bill O'Reilly, and they ought to. I mean, yes. I used to listen to him, but he's just worn me out.
Right.
So even in that world, so they're tired of the mainline, they're tired of the cable, and when they read our paper, all of a sudden they come to life. They have a background, many of them. A lot of our readers are 50 and up. Most newspaper readers, by the way, are 40 and up. Just it's the way it is how people are. They get a little more serious. A lot of our readers, 50 and up, 60 and up, they can really connect, even if they're 50, sometimes 40, they can connect when they read our paper and go, you know, that's how Grandma and Grandpa thought. That's how Dad and Mom thought. That's how I was raised. And they really connect to that. And then out of that, it encourages them. And then out of that, it begins to inform them more, and it begins to give them direction. So I think that's why there's an interest in it. Can I give you one example, and I'll stop on this?
Yes.
I've got in front of me our latest edition. And you may have that there, but the middle main article on the front page, written by Patrice Lewis, it's the wife of a husband out in Montana, and she writes at times we put her in. Here's the title, The Lazy in America. And what she talks about is these two classes of people in America, the responsible and the irresponsible. Well, that strikes a chord to people that are not lazy.
Yes.
It strikes a chord to people that are lazy. They don't buy it. But the people that are not shirking their duty, and they're responsible, and they're getting a little tired of the burden and the unjustness of it, they read, they go, wow, and that comes right off the rack. So I think there's a response, an interest, because of those reasons.
Yes. Once upon a time in America, it was taught, it was virtuous to not be lazy.
And that's right.
So those that were brought up that way,
it's called the called the Puritan work ethic, et cetera.
Yes. I do not have the latest issue, but I'm still reading and getting good content out of the January edition of the paper that Brother Bob Doom gave me, and just some of the headlines out of that newspaper. And one thing you and I talked about in our private conversation was. This content in the U.S. Journal is something that lasts for more than a few days.
Well, can I say something here in light of your interest, and that is that people don't throw our paper away. And you even made a statement, maybe incidentally, when you wrote me a note on everything. We have found that our paper gets passed around. It is identical in looks almost to the USA Today. The USA Today doesn't own the size of the paper, and it's a normal newspaper look and everything, and it's 32 pages, it's four sections, but it's magazine-like in content. And so when people get it, they can read an issue from 6 months ago or a year, and they're interested.
Right.
Because what we do is we take current issues as they arise, among other things, and we incorporate them into the bigger picture, which is what is good, what is true, what is wholesome. And so that's why when you read it, you make that statement, and we get that all the time. Where the Daily, I mean, this is a little aside, but it's a note, and you can just do what you want with it. I personally, after these years, think that a daily in general is not a good idea. And I have lots of reasons for that, and I'll just say this in a nutshell. Serious things. Man by nature wants news. He's how he is. He's inquisitive, and the bad part is he wants bad news. But daily news is in many ways undigestible. So we live in this day and age of news bits. It's flying all over the internet and all over the newspapers and all over the world. And you and I know that with the computer age. I don't think a daily newspaper fundamentally is the best idea. But we're not a daily, and therefore, when you get what we get, you know, it lasts, and therefore, you know, it's serious. So anyway, hope I didn't get off track too much.
No. You know, you and I had talked about what happened yesterday in Boston with
yes.
the bombing and everything. Well, we could come on here and we could talk about it like everybody else is talking about it, but the facts are that they don't know what the facts are. So anything we would say about that would probably be proven untrue by next week or maybe there's a lot of people that are just completely barking down the wrong trail on that. So I see what you're saying about daily news.
It's just not, it's, you know, I mean, it's, and this is an opinion. I've got in front of me a sermon preached in 1880s by Dwight T. Talmage entitled The Newspaper. It's really, you'd have to know of him to know he preached on everything, the businessman, the housewife, the newspaper.
Right.
But anyway, having said that, that you're right. All they do, when you listen, you know this, if you listen to cable news, they're just making up the latest event and talking about it and giving their opinions like anybody would at a store corner.
Right.
The problem is it has influence on millions of people.
I know.
Well, you know all that, so.
I've got, the 23rd or the January edition, and some of the, I wanted to give some of the headlines just so our listeners could get an idea of the difference between maybe a USA Today or a Winston-Salem Journal or maybe a local newspaper. But some of the headlines from the front page, Gun Rights Guard Democracy by Gary North. And then there was The Political Use and Abuse of Children by Wendy McElroy.
Yep.
Inflation is a Tax on the Poor by Thomas Sowell.
Yes.
And over on in the newspaper, Section B, there was Why Aren't There Men at Elementary Schools by Mike Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wrote an article, Fathers Are the Answer by Dan Stanley. And
yes.
All of these are excellent articles. I read every one of them. One thing I noticed was I was not familiar with any of these writers, and I read a lot. I read a lot on the Internet, different news sites, but just excellent articles. That one by Gary North on Gun Rights Guard Democracy brought up some things I'd never even thought of before, and that's one area that I have really studied into, and I would think that I'm, you know, after a while you'd about read everything there was to read on something, but it's just an excellent article. And so I wondered if maybe you could tell us something about your contributors. It's good to know that you know some of the people you're reading after, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Sure. Well, again, and I would love, and we will visit again, I'm sure, because of how this has come together, because you may know of some that we'd be interested in, because you read a lot, and I like to meet men that read a lot. I guess the best answer to it would be is that it's been an accumulation of many years, knowing many people, and it's the fruit of that. Now, that's real simple, but we do tend to pull from all over what I call the Internet world. And we have syndicated writers, which we buy and we own, just like any newspaper does, by the way. If you pick up the Winston-Salem Journal and Sentinel, half of those articles, or majority probably, aren't by their actual staff writers.
Right.
Unless they're local ones. So we do have some of the best syndicated writers, and you have, in syndicated world, there's one group that really has all of them, and there is the conservative, there's the general, and there's a liberal, and we have access to that. So... what I've done is we've taken and condensed everything out there in the Internet world in our mind and pulled the best in light of what's the best for people to read. And that's why you end up getting what you get. Take Gary North, for instance. Of course, I read several of his books he wrote probably 30, 35 years ago. And so maybe, again, Thomas Sowell I read for 35 or so years ago. Years ago, I read an article by him on how that in Australia they did a survey. And child abuse, which became a big subject then, child abuse was found more prevalent among social workers and school teachers than any other genre of people. Now, that was the opposite of how people think. They think that child abuse is in the home. Now, there is some, but they don't think of the teacher or the social worker or the whatever. So I would just say this. That our contributors are the result of just many, many years of knowing many people and reading many. And I'm guessing if you put a paper together, it'd be a lot better than you think. And I should add to that, we do have on staff about five that write and write regular. One of the owners does, besides myself, Jerry Hansen, and then Travis writes. And we have another lady who now is writing, Shirley. We have so we do have staff writers. But I'm saying if you yourself put a paper together like this, if you're a well-read man and you think soundly, and I know from having met you, you'd be surprised at how good it would be.
Right.
forgive me for saying it that way. You know what I mean? It's not like ours is great, but it's like as a pastor. Now, I don't know your audience, of course, but I have people come in where I pastor, and they'll come and go, oh, that was just wonderful. And they will commend me and go, you really taught the Bible. And they'll go on like I'm a great preacher. And I'll say to them, you know, sometimes I'll say to my wife, you know, it's really wonderful. I said, people come in, they think I'm a great preacher. The truth is they just never heard a message taught from the Bible, and the first time in their life they did.
Right.
Same is true with our paper. I don't know if it's a great paper, but when you read it, you go, huh, you really actually see some things, and it connects with you in a way that really helps you.
Well, that's the difference. I can read through the Winston-Salem Journal probably in about 20 minutes.
Yes.
Because there's so much that is just fluff and really not about anything, but as far as the actual content or anything meaty or really worth reading, there's very little in there. But the U.S. Journal I've read and I've read over and over again. So big difference in the content. I noticed in your newspaper, you know, there wasn't any articles about what Michelle Obama had for breakfast or what Tiger Woods' girlfriend wore to the Masters or, you know.
No.
There's so much of that, just like our society thrives on what celebrities are, where they're going on vacation, what they ate for breakfast, and all the, and people just feed off of that. And so I appreciate that you didn't have that in your newspaper. So that's really a blessing. Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. And call it conspiracy or whatever, but I do believe there is a definite effort to dumb down our citizens. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I wonder sometimes, you know, is there any hope for a society that is so taken up with the celebrity or the idols, they call, you know? What do you think about that?
Well, of course, that's a loaded question. I'm a Christian, and I believe the Bible.
Yes.
And believing the Bible, there's three conclusions people come to, and I'll just go right to the one I come to. I come to the conclusion that Christianity and the gospel and churches, et cetera, will not ultimately make the world better collectively or as a whole. The Bible says that we're in this present evil world. It says Satan's the god of it.
Right.
Well, history has proven that to be true, by the way. Anybody that wants to argue with that, if they're an atheist or an agnostic or whatever, and I'd love to visit with them, it is proven that it's not straightened itself out. Here we are in what we call modern civilization with technology that makes planes go, you know, 1,500 or 2,500 miles an hour. I mean, go to the moon and back, and we can't keep a marriage together.
Right.
So my answer to that would be, in general, it's never going to ultimately win out collectively as nations and as a world. I'm talking about humanly.
Yes.
Humanly. But I do believe that people have influence and have effect upon it. So when you reduce it to America, I think that's where we're at. What will happen in America? You said any hope for a nation. I'll use America as an example. I say to people, I used to say this, we've yet to see the genius of the Constitution. While it's not inspired, it's not perfect, it isn't an amazing document, like the Magna Carta.
Yes.
Just saw the Magna Carta probably 2 months ago. I was in England with my three sons, and we went to the British Museum, and there it was. I've seen it before. And so we say that the Constitution is a wonderful document. I call it the genius of the Constitution. I used to say years ago, I can't wait until the Christian conservative constitutional whatever people in this country wake up and start using the Constitution to react or respond to those that are abusing it. Well, it's happening today. And I don't know how that thing's going to settle down. I don't know how it's going to come out. So I almost look at America and go, well, I do believe in judgment of nations. I do believe America is experiencing the judgment of God. Now, I'm not talking about every hurricane. Oh, believe he's in control.
Right.
I'm not getting down to that. I'm just saying that as a nation, we are doing bad. We are suffering. We are coming apart.
Yes.
We've always had problems. So I, in the end, this is an awful, is there any hope for this nation? I would say, of course, there's always hope in the Lord. And I would certainly start there, and I start with a person individually finding hope by coming to know the Lord. And of course, I'm sure you teach and preach on that.
Yes.
Beyond that, and I may be a little bit ahead of myself here in light of how you ask things, but beyond that, can I put it this way, and you stop me here if you want to say something else, but the best answer that I would say for people in a town, wherever they're at, forgive me for this, are you in Boone, is it?
Yes.
Okay, I remember it correctly. The best answer for somebody in Boone that wants to see good happen and things get helped in the nation is in Boone. And the best answer in Boone is for a person that thinks soundly to begin to connect with and reach out to and take an interest in those in that city that are in power, that have authority, that may be council members or sheriffs or whatever, people that actually have authority, maybe judges, but they have authority, is to reach out to them and to begin to get to know them and then begin to win them over and then begin to show them and teach them and help them. And that takes time.
Right.
Second thing they can do is, as circumstances arise in their own life relative to the city and town in which they live, they have to do with right and wrong, and sometimes with wisdom and foolishness. It has to do with right and wrong, that they do what's right. They become salt. They do it wisely. They do it thoughtfully, prayerfully, carefully, but they need to do what is right, and at that point, there will be an effect beyond what they would ever begin to guess. They don't do it. We don't do it.
Right.
We're still, you know what we'll do? We'll tell everybody to vote for the next president.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what. You go down and meet the city councilman in his home or take him out to lunch or the local sheriff. I know our sheriff well. And you sit and visit with him, and a lot of them will do that, and you just begin to get to know them and take an interest. Boy, you can begin. They'll, before long, they'll ask you things.
Right. Makes a difference. The Bible,
yes,
the Bible does say we're to be salt and light, and
yes,
you never use the whole container of salt at one time, do you? You use a little,
I like that.
A little bit here and there, but our time is quickly going to get gone. I want everybody to know how they can subscribe to the U.S. Journal, and I hope your phone just rings off the hook. It is what I highly recommend, and I do not do this all the time, but would you take just a couple minutes and tell us what's the best way to get a hold of you, and if somebody's interested, to subscribe to the U.S. Journal?
Yes. I want them to know it's a monthly. It's mailed to their home, or e-version, or both. But they should call this number, and if they have a pen, they should write it down. It's 715-514-8055. And I'll say that number again in just a second. And if it's $39 a year, and I had already mentioned to you that we do this when we have programs like this, they would discount it $10. So if they want it for $29 a year, it's mailed to their home. I hate to put it this way. I guarantee you, once they get it, if they have an interest in just what's good and sound, they'll find it's one of the best investments they've ever made. And so if they'll just call 715-514-8055 and just mention to Travis, who will answer, and just say, you know, they heard it on the radio program and it's a $10 discount, they can sign up, and it'll start coming, and they'll be, I'm convinced, if they have any interest in what's good and sound, they'll be very happy they got it.
Well, I do appreciate you coming on the radio broadcast today. It has been a great blessing, and this has been Brother Dan Stanley. He's an owner, contributor to the U.S. Journal, and we have the radio broadcast here, but there's no way we can cover everything. And so when I find something good, I want to promote it to our listeners. So, Brother Stanley, thank you so much for being with us. We will give this number one more time before we go off the air. It is 715-514-8055. And so you call and subscribe to the U.S. Journal. You will not be disappointed when you get it. Thank you for being with us today, Brother Stanley.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the opportunity. And I hope the best for your listeners.
Thank you very much.